2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 6. Wherefore I put thee in remembrance that thou stir up the gift of God, which is in you, by the putting on of my hands. So we're looking at the gifts of God, concerning the gifts of God. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 1. Now concerning spiritual gifts, that's in the King James. Brethren, I would not have you ignorant. Romans chapter 11 verse 29. For the gifts and the callings of God are without repentance. I'll take that one again. For the gifts and the callings of God are without repentance. So we're looking at the gifts of God. And most of the time people do not know because the gift of a man, the gift that a man gives, will have a lot to do with his character and the relationship he has with the one he is given. So we would look at God who gives and those that he gives to, and then we'll look at how those gifts are to be received and how those gifts work. And I would really want you to be alert and don't think that we are teaching the gifts of the Spirit in the traditional way. That will help you to receive this. So last week, because we couldn't get that one on tape, we began to look at the Old Testament. And most of the time when I see individuals try to teach something in Scripture and they talk about God, and oftentimes they begin to speak from some experiences and examples of stuff in the Old Testament, and they begin to tell us, you know, God, somebody was saying this today that, well, I am God and there's none like me, and I'll punish iniquity and all that. And he's right there. And I asked a fellow a question, and that's why understanding matters. I said, do you believe that the Bible is not the Word of God? And I felt that he hadn't heard that before. I said, I'm not saying the Bible is not authentic. I'm not saying it was not inspired by God. It's obviously inspired by God. 2 Timothy chapter 3 verse 16 says all Scripture is inspired by God. It's given by the inspiration of God, and it's profitable for teaching, for doctrine, that's the teaching there, for instruction in righteousness. It says for correction and for reproof, that the man of God be truly furnished and perfect, prepared unto every good work. I said, that's true. I said, but the inspiration of the Bible does not make it the Word of God. The inspiration of the Bible is that God inspired the writing and the documentation of it, and it's true. Whatever is there is true. But not everything that is there is the truth. And the truth is only found in a person, and that person is Christ Jesus. So that's why John 1:1 calls the Word a person. It's a person. So if you know and believe that Jesus Christ is a person, and he is the Word of God, then all things must be interpreted in the light of Christ Jesus. If you don't see it from that point, the Bible will just be like an academic material for you, and you will see contradictions. But there were no contradictions. They were just, you know, the way things evolved over time in the Scripture. So I said to him, if you know that Jesus Christ, the person of Jesus, is the Word, and then you are able to see that, then when we talk about the things of God and the grace of God, and then what he was saying, that you see, God punished sinners, that God, the I am that I am, you know, that I am that I am, that he actually punishes iniquity. I said, you're right. But when you look at it in the light of Jesus Christ, all iniquity was punished in Jesus. Jesus Christ actually bore the sin of the whole world. John 1:29. And if you also observe that in John 3:16, he said, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. He gave. We're going to look at that statement, he gave, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but has eternal life. And then God has sent his son into the world not to condemn the world. And if you observe that, the Old Testament did a lot of condemnation, but Jesus Christ, the Word of God, did not condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. And, you know, it was very clear. And the guy said, I've never heard this before. I said, that's why I'm teaching you. You know, you have to hear it like that so that your interpretation of the Bible will be right. 2 Timothy chapter 2 verse 15 says that, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that need not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. I told you last week, the word rightly dividing implies when you have to cut through a path to get to something. So that means that you need to cut through Scriptures very well to get to the essence and the substance of Scriptures. The substance and essence of Scriptures is Jesus. That's why He did not say, I came to show you the truth. He said, I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. He is the author and finisher of faith, Hebrews 12 and 2. He is the very substance and essence of the prophet's message, Hebrews 1 and 1 and 2. So, if you see from that point, then that will mean that your Bible interpretation will be from the appearance of Jesus, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and most importantly, from the revelation of Christ in the epistles. The minute you cannot establish something within the epistles, you are going astray. You know, because that's where we get the very essence and substance of the scriptures. That's why Jesus is called the Word of God. The word Word in the Greek is the word Logos. It means the thought, the concept, the idea, the substance, the essence of something. So Jesus is the substance, the essence, the idea, the thought behind the scriptures. So if you look at the Old Testament, your study of the Old Testament will only be wonderful if you can rightly divide the word of truth in there. When you see condemnation, you will see condemnation where people are told that they will perish and all that. You just see that, well, that punishment was laid on a person. That person is Jesus. So when you believe in Jesus, you don't perish. John 3:14, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so shall the Son of Man be lifted up, and whosoever believes in him will not perish. Hallelujah. That, you know, can you imagine? I mean, we just saw Moses lifted up the serpent, and he said, look, Moses lifted up the serpent so that you can see the promise of Jesus, that when Jesus will come, actually, he will bear our sin, he will be that sin bearer, and when we look at him as the one who takes the punishment, we will live. It's all in that Bible. Hallelujah. So that's the story of the word. So, everything like that, we look at the story like gifts of God, you know, people, you can often look at certain things in the Old Testament, you look at it, it's contradictory, and it's not contradictory, it's just that you need to study it, and understand different times and seasons that operated on the earth. God never changed, but man always changed. And because man changed, God's dealings with man changed. Not because God dealt with man differently from Jesus Christ, but man's ways of receiving things from God changed because he changed his position. In Genesis chapter 2, God and man functioned in the same realm. Man could say what God thought. He could expose the thoughts of God so that one day God brought him before the animals that were created before Adam came. And then, according to the vision, and then Adam came there. And God said, call it a name. And every name Adam called it, so it was. Perfect intelligence. Now, later on, God now called for Adam, and Adam wasn't there. There was a separation. So who moved? Who moved? Man moved. So definitely, man's relationship with God was changed by man. Okay? So when we look at the Old Testament, from that point, Romans 5:12 said death reigned from Adam to Moses. So from Adam to Moses and over all until Jesus Christ came, there was spiritual death. So, spiritual death was the state of man. So, the way man received the things of God was what we're going to read from Genesis to Malachi. He saw it as condemnation. He saw it as God being far away from him. He saw himself seeking after God and all that. But when God came to man in the person of Jesus, you could see that it was God that came to man. And God brought love, life, and light. Hallelujah. That's the word of God. So, when we see the dealings of man with God from Job to Abraham and all that, we see man with God. But when we see God with man, we see Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. That's a proper study of the... Let me show you what I'm saying here. Are you getting this? That's a proper study of the scripture. So, looking at the gifts of God, you know, we begin to look at it from the Old Testament. I showed you that you need to know the Old Testament and the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost was never given. He was never given. Not to anyone. Listen carefully to that. He was never given. But there was Holy Ghost in the Old Testament. He was not given. You will see it in a moment now. He was not given to them in the Old Testament. The Holy Ghost functioned in the Old Testament. What we call the Old Testament is just for the sake of material and reference material. Genesis to Malachi. But really, proper study. The Old Testament is not a book. It's a dispensation, a relationship. Okay? So when we look at it from Genesis to Malachi, which is the Holy Spirit worked there, we saw the person of the Holy Spirit. But then, it doesn't show you that God gave the Holy Spirit to anyone. Because God, again, is yet to give the Holy Ghost to anyone. Let me even say this to you so that you can understand. God did not give you the Holy Ghost. Now, you say, but Pastor, just wait. He didn't give you the Holy Ghost. He didn't give you the Holy Ghost after he had given you this. No. We'll see what God gave you now in a moment. So, in looking at that, we began to look at the, you know, Old Testament. And I said to you that only Christ was given. Christ is what God gave to humanity. Jesus Christ is what God gave to humanity. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave. And when we say God gave, if in your small mind, because that's the way it is in most religious thinking, we see Jesus in the manger, that's not when God gave. That's how you will know what it means to give something. Okay? Now, when Jesus, let me give you some small Bible understanding. Are you ready? Now, when Jesus was born, he was made in the form of a woman, and in the form of a man. Galatians chapter 4, verse 6, let us know that, 4, 5 and 6, he became flesh and dwelt amongst us, John 1:14. Now, we beheld of one only begotten of the Father. He was begotten of God. He wasn't given. Okay? That's why the Bible says, unto us a child was born. That's Jesus' incarnation. Unto us a child is born. Isaiah 9:7. Unto us a child is born. Okay? That's the incarnation. The virgin shall bring forth, shall conceive. Isaiah 7:14. And his name shall be called God with us. That was what he was. So, he was God with us as a man. John 1:14. And he began to live for 33.5 years according to history. Now, he wasn't given. When he was given was when God gave him to die. When you say something is given, you yield it for someone. At that point, now when Jesus was walking for 3.5 years, he was amongst us, but he was not like us. He was not a sinner. He was not born after the order of Adam, was the second one. Is someone following what I'm saying here? Are you following this? Are you sure you're following this? Okay. So he was not up like us. He was not, he called himself the Son of God. But when he said it in John chapter 10, everybody went crazy. He said, I am my Father, we are one. So he was called the only begotten Son. Okay? So there were no sons. So he was the only begotten Son. When was he given? When you give someone, you identify that person with them. Jesus now hung on the cross and now identified with the state of man. That was when he was given. So, unto us a child is born, unto us a son is what? Given. He gave him up to die. Romans 8:32, he who spared not his own son, but gave him up for us all. How shall he not with him freely give us of all things? So, he gave him to die. So, when we say God gave, that will tell us the character of the gifts of God. He gave him to die in our stead. Are you following what I'm saying? Romans chapter 5 verse 8. God commended his love towards us whilst we were what? Yet sinners. Christ died for us. That is when he gave his only begotten son. Okay. So, having said that, Jesus is the only thing and only one, pardon me, that God gave to humanity. Now, you could, you know, begin to say, but he gave this, he gave that. Just hold on. He gave Jesus to humanity. Under the Old Testament, Jesus, the gift of God, was given as a promise. Whether to Adam, you know, some people begin to believe that Adam had eternal life. And the problem they have is the word ruach, which came from the Old Testament word, the life. So Adam had eternal life. And of course, you know, when we are teaching small class, I've said this to you before, when we say Zoe, oh Zoe, say Zoe is the life of God. Zoe is the life of God. Oh Zoe, Zoe is the life of God, life as God has it. Well, you know, we can say that to you when you are just coming up. But Zoe is not the life of God. Zoe is the life that God gives. Okay? Which is different from bios, human, that is normal, animal, existence, bios, life. So, Zoe is life. But when Jesus came, and he says, I have come that you may have life, in John 10:10. When he said that, there's nobody that could say, I'll have life. What do you mean by have life? He now said, and be. The King James says, and have it more abundantly. Very, very bad translation. He says, you may have life and you be abundant. You be full, needing nothing. That is something that never existed in humanity. So when he says that, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him will not perish but will have eternal life. So use a word. Use the word anion zoe, which is a life that does not end, that cannot be changed, that cannot be corrupted. That is eternal life. Eternal life is not zoe. Hallelujah. So then he says that this is the record that God has given us, eternal life. This life is in the Son. 1 John 5, verse 11 and 12. He that has this Son has this life. He that doesn't have this Son does not have this life. This is the confidence that we have, verse 13. All things are very clear unto you that you may know that you will have eternal life. So it qualifies that life. Romans 6:23, the wages of sin is death. The gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus. So when God gives it to us, he calls it life. Our receiving it is where we receive it on our path. The thing it does to us is that it makes what it has, whoever receives it, it makes that person eternal in nature. That's why it's called eternal life. So that's why, you see, when you're teaching, one should never be so crazy about Greek words. Greek words can just lead you to the truth. They are not the truth. They don't carry the truth in themselves. Let me see how I'm following what I'm saying here. Are you following me? Great. So, in looking at it like that, when we look at the Old Testament, which we call the Old Testament for this purpose, and we will see that the Holy Ghost was never given. In John chapter 7, verse 37, you have to be on the alert. John 7, 37. The last day, the great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believes on me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. Now listen to this. I know some of you were, you know, there's nothing about religious mind. If you already think a scripture means something, it will take a lot of humility for you to see the light of God's word. Some folks have read that place. He that believes on me out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. But listen carefully. Which I said last week. I'm saying it again today, and I won't repeat it again in this series. Except for reference purposes and all that. Jesus said, as the scripture has said, out of his belly, right, shall flow what? So, the scripture said that out of his belly. So, his belly can be anybody. His belly can be anybody. Right? Whoever is referring to, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. Now, go back to 37. Jesus cried and said, whosoever thirst, right? Let him do what? And so who could the scripture have been saying shall flow rivers of living water? It has to be the one who says you come to him and drink, because the scripture testifies of him. Hallelujah. Are you following this? Are you listening now? Okay, let me go back to somewhere. Is it clear to you? It can't be he that believes, the scripture spoke of the one who will give you living water. He that believes does not produce living water. When he believes, he receives. It is he that gives, hallelujah, that will give living water for you to drink. That's why Jesus said it to that woman, we read it last week, John 4. He says, if you believe, I will give you to drink. I will give you to drink, and the water I will give to you, John 4:14, shall be in you a well springing up unto everlasting life. Because in John chapter 3, the Bible says concerning Jesus, let's see John 1 first. John 1. This is John's vision and his revelation about the Christ. He says that in verse 32, and John bore record saying, I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and it abode upon him. And I knew him not, but he that sent me to baptize with water, the same said unto me, upon whom, now listen carefully now, thou shalt see the Spirit descending and remaining on what? Okay? The same is he that baptized with what? that baptize with what? That baptize with what? The Holy Ghost. So Jesus is the one who baptizes with the Holy Ghost. Okay? Now, go to chapter 3. This is John's testimony again. Verse 34. This is John's testimony. Are you there? Okay. For he whom God has sent speaks the words of God. For God gives on not the Spirit by measure. God gives not the Spirit by measure. So God gives not the Spirit by what? Measure. Now you see unto him there, which is in italics, which shouldn't be there really. So God gives not his Spirit by measure. Now we can bring him unto him there because he had just told you here that the Holy Ghost will remain on Jesus and he will baptize with the Holy Ghost. So who baptizes with the Holy Ghost? Beautiful. Now go to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. John even said it in Matthew 3:11, I baptize with water, but he that cometh after me will baptize with the Holy Ghost and with fire. So go to 1 Corinthians 12. Are you there? 1 Corinthians 12:13. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, have been made to drink into one Spirit. Can you see that now? So who baptizes us into one body? Huh? Jesus. Amen. Alright. So the drinking is yours. The rivers of living water comes from the Christ. Now look at John 7 again. But this is speak of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive. Are you listening now? Are you there? Verse 39. Which they that believe on him should receive. Receive from who? Receive from the living rivers of living water. For the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because Jesus was not yet glorified. The Holy Ghost was not yet given because Jesus was not glorified. The Holy Ghost could not be given until Jesus was glorified. So, how is the Holy Ghost given? The Holy Ghost is not given by God. Let me say that. I believe you understand what I'm saying. The Holy Ghost, Jesus has been given as the gift of God to die. Okay? And that gift of God is complete. It's been given to die, to be raised from the dead, and to sit at the right hand of the Father for humanity. And that gift of God is complete. Colossians chapter 2 verse 9 says, it pleased the Father. Colossians 1 in verse 18 and 19 says, it pleased the Father that the fullness would dwell in him. Colossians 2 9 says, Bible says that the fullness of the Godhead dwells in him. So God gave Christ to us. The fullness of the Godhead dwells in him. So Jesus is a complete gift. Say that with me. Say it again. He's a complete gift. He is a complete gift. Okay. So the gift of Christ is the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost is what is given to us in Christ Jesus. Are you following me? The Holy Ghost is what is given to us in and through Christ Jesus. Let me give you a couple of scriptures. Look at John. John 16. John 16. Verse 7. Nevertheless, I tell you, this is Jesus, the truth, it is expedient, advantageous for you that I go away. Hallelujah. What does it mean by go away? It's going to do what? It's going to do what? Die, be buried, be raised from the dead, and do what? Sit at the right hand of God. Are you following me? Okay. So, if I go not away, the Comforter will not what? Okay. But if I depart, I will do what? Who will send him? So who will send him to you? Is that clear to you now? So out of whose belly will you drink of? Is it not clear to you now? Who will send it to you?
Jesus.
That's why he said in verse 13, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth, for he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, shall he speak. He will show you things to come. He will glorify me. That's the essence of scripture. For he shall receive of me, and shall show it unto you. All things that the Father has are who? Mine. Therefore, said I, he will take of mine, and he will show it to you. So he will show you all things that are of the Father, that have been given to Jesus. Are you following me here? And he will show it to you. There's protocol in scripture. Now look at Acts of the Apostles chapter 2. Acts of the Apostles chapter 2. This is Peter talking about the resurrection of Jesus. From verse 10. Therefore, being a prophet, talking about David, Acts 2, and knowing that God has sworn with an oath to him that of the foot of his loins, according to the flesh, he will raise up Christ to sit on his throne. Are you there? Verse 31. He, seeing this, therefore, spoke of the resurrection of Christ, that his soul was not left in hell, neither his flesh did see corruption. 32. This Jesus hath God raised up, whereof we are all witnesses. 33 together, everybody. Therefore, being of God exalted, and have received of the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit, he had... Take it again. He had shed forth this, which you now see. So it's the work of who? The work of Jesus. The Father gave Jesus the Holy Ghost because of the work of redemption. So Jesus will now give the Holy Ghost, notice the word give, to any man in Christ. Is that clear to you now? Do you understand it now? So there is no, I have Jesus, and God give me Holy Ghost. You have a problem. God has given us. Now, watch this. Romans chapter 8, verse 32. Are you there now? I'll start from 31. What shall we say then to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? Okay, if God be for us, who can be against us? Let's take 32 together. One to go. He that spared not his own son, but divide more for us all. Hold on. So he that spared not his own son, but did what? What does it mean to deliver? To give to what? Die. Okay. So he gave Jesus to die. Okay? Is that okay? Now, he gave Jesus to die for us all. Now finish it gradually. Don't rush, so that you won't lose what he's saying. You know there's a way you can say it. How shall he not give us all things? That's not what he said. If you say, shall he now give you all things after giving Jesus, you are, you know today they call it heresy, but it's close to it. You are belittling the work of redemption. Look at it. Gradually, where to go? How shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Take that again. How shall he not? The word with him there is accompanied with. That is accompanied with the gift of Christ is what? All things. So it's not that he gave Christ, after he gave Christ, because you now receive Christ, you now receive all things. All God giving is done through Jesus. Let me see if you understood that. Is that clear to you now? All of God's giving is done through Jesus Christ. Amen. So we said that under the Old Testament, therefore, it's not possible for men to have been given the Holy Ghost. Because Christ was not given until he did what? He died. Not until he was born, no. Until he what? Died. So could you have been given the Holy Ghost without Jesus being given? You couldn't have been given all things until Jesus was given. So we began to look at it last week, and we said that 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 9. Receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls, of which salvation the prophets have inquired and searched diligently, who prophesied of the grace that shall come unto you, searching what manner of time the Spirit of Christ, which was in them, did signify, which he testified beforehand, the sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow. Now I told you expressly that the Spirit of Christ there was not talking about a deposit in them, it was talking about the message of their prophecy. Are you listening to what I'm saying? The message of their prophecy. The Spirit of Christ which was in them. You can look at the prophet in two ways. The prophets as the individuals who prophesied. But you see, in this statement, it's a compound word. It refers to the prophets as touching the Old Testament. That book we call the Old Testament. The prophets. Hebrews 1:1. God who has sundry times and in diverse manners spoke in time past to our fathers by the prophets. The scriptures, the Old Testament. Now, individuals spoke in the Old Testament. And you will discover that just like Isaiah will say, look, you people are sinners and all that. As he's talking and speaking about the greed that will come upon the soul of sinners, and as he's coming upon their soul, he just say that, well, all we like sheep have gone astray and turned every man his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. That's the Spirit of Christ. And he will say to you that himself bore our infirmities, took our sicknesses, that was upon him by his stripes, we are healed. That's the Spirit of Christ. He prophesies of the what? The sufferings of Christ and what? The glory that will follow. That's the Spirit of Christ. Are you with me there? Are you following me now? That's the Spirit of Christ. When God was talking to Adam, and Adam said, oh, where are you? God said, where are you? He said, well, the woman you gave me. And God said, look, you talked to the woman, and then he said that he spoke to the serpent, that's Satan, and he said, the seed of man, well, the woman, depending on how you see it, will bruise the head of the serpent, and he will bruise his heel. As he said that statement, that was the Spirit of Christ. He said he will bruise his heel, that he will suffer of you, but in suffering of you, he will strip you of your authority. Hebrews 2 and 15, the Bible says, who through death delivered us from he that had the power of the death, even the devil. Hallelujah. So that's what Jesus did. He stripped Satan of his authority. Colossians 2:15. His four principalities and power made the shoe of them openly triumphing over them in it. How? Verse 4. Was nailed to the cross. Verse 16, sorry. When it was nailed to the cross. By that death, he stripped Satan of his authority. So when you see that in the Old Testament, that's what? The Spirit of Christ. So in Second Peter chapter 1, 2 Peter chapter 1. Now let me even show you something. Look at 12 so that you get it. In verse 12, unto whom it was revealed, talking about those prophets, the prophets, unto whom it was revealed, not unto themselves, but unto us, they did minister the things which are now reported unto you. Say now. Are you following this? Now. By them which have done what? With what? Which was what? Sent down from. So where was the Holy Ghost sent? Now. Can you see that? Are you following this now? Did they move by the Holy Ghost? Yes. Was the Holy Ghost sent to them? No. Just follow now. You see where we're going. You see the difference in the moment. In 2 Peter chapter 1. Because the indwelling of the Holy Ghost is the giving of the Holy Ghost, and that has to be the new creation. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 19, we have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto you do well, that you take heed as unto a light that shines in the dark place, and the day dawn and the day star arise in your heart. Knowing this first, that what? No prophecy of the scripture is of any private interpretation. Now, when you say prophecy of the scripture, it's referring to what? The what? Old Testament. Okay? No verse of scripture is of any private interpretation. That word interpretation is the word origin. Substance. That everything came from one source. Are you listening now? Everything came from one source. Now look at verse 20. For prophecy came not in the old time by the will of man. You know, this is where people stand and they say you cannot prophesy by at will. They said, prophecy came not, but he just told you in the old time, by the will of man, but what? Holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. That's the difference. They were moved by the Holy Ghost. They were never indwelt by the Holy Ghost. Indwelt with the Holy Ghost. They never had the Holy Ghost. They were only what? Moved by the Holy Ghost. That word there is pharaoh. It simply means that when something is on a, let me look, I mean, some of you are joining, well, you don't, I don't think you have the BRT. BRT will park, right? And then you will enter. Okay, but you know this Molue, you should enter Molue, I used 2 years ago, Molue, and but one of the reasons why I saw Molue was one day that I put money in my back pocket, and then I was standing, and I was posing like this. So when I came down at Antony, I just checked that something was flipping, just free behind me. I said, ah, I just put the thing back. Why is it so free? I said, ah, free, put it back. That was money now. I said, ah, no. If I go to enter Molue, I'm going to sit down. So, Pero there, the word moved, it means to actually, the Holy Ghost is going in a way they will just join in. They never had the Holy Ghost. God, that's why you see under the Old Testament, the Holy Ghost will come on them, and they'll say, and the Spirit of the Lord came on me, and I said. You won't see that in the epistles. The Holy Ghost will come on them, and it will go. It was not given to them. But when Jesus came, the Holy Ghost came on him, and he stayed. Are you following what I'm saying here? Are you getting what I'm saying? So the Holy Ghost was not given to them. Now, why can we drink something that shows you there's an indwelling? We are made to drink out of your, Bible says it shall be in you a well of living water. So there's an indwelling. That's what happened in Acts 2. The Holy Ghost didn't just come on them. There was not just glowing tongues of fire, but they were what? Filled with the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost indwelt everyone in Acts 2 from verse 1 to 4. Are you listening to this? These are very, very basic things anyway. I think you should know them naturally. So, when you look at the word prophets, I'll give you a couple of scriptures so that you can check that. Luke chapter 24, Jesus spoke about the prophets. And this is the reference he gave to us. Luke chapter 24, it says that in verse 44, it says, these things were written in the law of Moses and in the prophets concerning me. Luke 24, you will see John 1, just for reference sake, when Philip findeth Nathanael and said that this is he whom Moses in the law and the prophets did write. Referring to the entire material. And John 5:39-40, it says, you search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, and they will not come to me. The scriptures testify of me, they will not come to me that they may have life. So, Jesus is the substance of the scriptures. That is what is called the Spirit of Christ. Revelations 19:10, the Spirit, the testimony of Christ is the Spirit of all prophecy. Now, you see a place in the Old Testament where a man called David said that, cast me not away from your presence, take not your Holy Spirit away from me. Now, it wasn't referring to him being indwelt by the Holy Spirit. What he was saying was the coming and going of the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost will come, the Holy Ghost will go. It wasn't given to them. That's why a prophet like the man Elisha, when they came to him, 2 Kings chapter 4, and they said to him that, look, we need a word from the Lord. And he said, bring me a minstrel, so when he plays, the Holy Spirit will come on me, and I'll have the word from the Lord. That was how it was. That was why a person like Saul lost it, and the Holy Spirit departed from him. That was why the way the Holy Spirit departed from him had to do with the fact that the Holy Spirit will not relate with him like that as a king. When a person like David too, the same thing. But you see, when you come into the New Testament and the epistles, you won't find words like that again, because the Holy Spirit has been what? Has been what? And how do we know that the Holy Spirit is giving forever? Is because he is given together with Christ, who is given how? Forever. The gifts and callings of God, we'll see that the relevance of that, are without repentance. You know, Job, in his ignorance, said, the Lord giveth, the Lord taketh, blessed be the name of the Lord. Why? Because he was not speaking concerning Christ. Hallelujah. That's why when God gave Jesus to us, Jesus remained with us. Amen. He has remained with us. He didn't go back. You know, people think that Jesus came, he died, and they say, I've done my part. So he just escaped to heaven. He took IRS, International Spiritual Airlines, and he went back to heaven, and he went to rest of the assignment. No. The Bible says he will be held up in heaven until the restoration of all things. Acts 3:21. So his work is still on. Hallelujah. He's the one inspiring us to to take authority, to walk in the Spirit, to walk in the Word, because God gave all things to Christ Jesus. Praise the Lord. Notice this and notice it carefully, that Christ is the gift of God to us. Christ is the gift of God to us. So the gifts of God are in who? They are in Christ Jesus. So we mustn't see the gifts of God as a separate thing from what God gave to us in the person of Jesus. As a separate thing. Say, be freely given. Beautiful. As a separate gift. Now notice this and write it down, because it's key in our study. So if God has given us all things with Jesus, that means the characteristic of all the gifts of God in the epistles will be seen in the light of who? In the light of who? Now, note this also. I was saying to someone on Facebook today. I said, look, what disqualifies most people from receiving the gifts of God is that they want to qualify. Because the nature of God's gift is described in how He gave Jesus. Number one, you don't pray for it. Number two, you don't thirst for it to be given to you. Number three, you don't prepare for it. Because it is freely bestowed. So if you don't understand the things of God in the light of Jesus Christ, you know there are a lot of people today that are just struggling because they don't know that Christ is God's word. So they just struggle, they look for holiness, they look for righteousness, they are still searching, they are still looking for what is not lost, and so on and so forth. You know that after the temple was torn into, people are very rebellious, people are very stubborn. The day Jesus died, history records it that the temple was torn from top to bottom. Do you know that some people still went back to that temple to be worshipping? They still went back there. They still were doing that. I mean, it was obvious that something miraculous had happened. In fact, what they said in Matthew 26 was that when those folks at the 27, when they were at the cross side, they said, this man truly must be the Son of God. But yet, some folks still held on to their religious beliefs. So I say it often, religion is stiffer than the devil. You see, there's only one spirit that does not answer the name of Jesus. It's called the religious spirit. If you say in Jesus' name, it will not go. In fact, you almost have to say Holy Ghost fire consume them, because that spirit doesn't go. It doesn't go. It's a religious spirit. That is, just not want to hear. Say no. I know what I'm saying. When I was young, I had this dream. Now, when I dream, I saw it. I didn't just see it. My brother, my cousin, my uncle, my auntie. When I had, I know what I'm saying. They're just religious. So when you say in Jesus' name, they don't go. They can't go anywhere. But normal spirits, like Kakanfo spirit and Bacchus and Sukubis and Sukubis. When you say leave, those ones go. But those religious people, and they're also birthed by experience. They don't want to hear it. There was one person I was telling, I said, you are righteous. She said, no. I said, you are righteous. Are you okay? Say, I said, no. I showed her from the Bible, she read it. I don't think this is what God means. I said, what does it mean? What he's saying is this. When you live your life before him and he's accepted you, then you are made the righteousness of God in him. I told you the story of one person. I was sharing on Facebook. I think the folks were there. 3 hours. Right? 3 hours. I asked her a question. Has your pastor ever taught you like this before? He said no. That it doesn't spend up to 40 minutes. Now I've taken 3 hours to teach you something that I've been teaching almost 20 years. I said, what is eternal life? He said, eternal life is this. I said, he that believes, she read John 3:16 twice. She said that if we keep believing, we will have eternal life. I said, Taiwo. She said, oh, If I believe, I said, how many times did you believe? He said, once. She now looked back and said, I love you, Pastor. I said, don't love me, believe the word. I didn't ask you to love, Pastor. Emotional levels. Is it desire to know the word? You love me, know the word. Who are very religious? Ah, no. I know how God deals with you. How does He deal with you? He has dealt with everybody in Christ. Except you are not in Christ. Praise God. Are you there now? Okay, so we don't have to be religious about these things. They're very simple. So the gifts of God will bear the nature of who? Because they were given in Christ. You know, God just gave everything in Christ. So go and sort yourself out. Praise God. Hallelujah. You just know, sort yourself out. This is God dealing with humanity. Now in Romans chapter 12, let's run. Romans 12, verse 3. For I say, through the grace given unto me to every man among you, that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God has dealt to every man the measure of faith. Verse 4. For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, the word there is function, so we being many are one body in Christ, and every one members one of another. Having then gifts, praise God, differing according to the grace that is given to us. Whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith. Now, so he says that we now have gifts according to the grace that is given to us. So two things. It says the grace, singular, one thing. It now says we have gifts that differ according to that grace. Now, do you know the way a religious man would think it? He said, gifts according to the different grace. He didn't say that. Gifts differing according to the grace. All of us have received the grace. There are now gifts that differ based on that grace. It's not a special grace given to you. The grace is given to all men, and gifts now differ in that grace. So we don't differ in the grace, we differ in the gifts. And we'll see where we differ now. Not in the grace, but in the gifts. Ephesians 4, verse 7. For unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Giving grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Whereof he saith, when he ascended up on high, he left captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. Now he that ascended, now it is, but he also that descended forth lower parts of the earth, he that descended is the same also that ascended up far above all heavens, that he might fill all things. He gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers. So he says that, look, the grace of God works like this. Jesus died, he rose from the dead, he gave gifts unto men. So the giving is by Jesus. Hallelujah. Are you following this? The giving is by Jesus. Now, do something to the word measure. Use the word diversity. Because that's what he says. The measure of the gift of Christ. He used the word gift in singular, and the word measure already demonstrates what? Huh? A diversity. So the word there is diversity. That's why he uses the word, he ascended upon high and he gave gifts to men. So, in the gifts of Christ, there are diversity. Now, don't look at those diversity in a religious way. He said, he gave us Jesus, Romans 8:32, and with him shall give us what? All things. Now, if I have one car, listen to me. I call it the car. Now, if I now bring one big truck, listen to me now. I bring one big truck. Maybe the truck is 100 meters long or 400 meters long. I'm 300 meters wide. I don't know whether they're very, I got a truck. And I now put in like 20 cars. I have 2011 head down is coming out in America already. Honda Accord. I have 2011 G class and all that. Now I have brought one truck, and in that truck I have brought diversities. So when I say he brought a truck, but in that truck we have things, we have cars. So shall he not with him, the gift he gave us, freely give us with him all things? So the diversity has to do with the different things that we receive by the gift of Christ. That's the diversity. The different things that we receive by the gift of Christ. Now, let us now say some simple things. Jesus was given to us. What is God's responsibility? It is to give. What is your responsibility to Jesus? Beautiful. So, just like Jesus, every gift of God, your response is to do what? Your response is to give. No, to receive. Acts 1:8. You shall receive what? Eh? Do you know that a number of people read it otherwise? They think what he says is that you shall receive the Holy Ghost. He said in Acts 1:5. He says you shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. Okay? So in Acts 1:8, he now takes a step further. This is where we differ as believers. It says, you shall do what? Receive power after the Holy Ghost is come upon you. So there is an activity you will take. That activity is not to ask for the Holy Ghost. That activity is not to thirst for the Holy Ghost. That activity is not to even receive the Holy Ghost. That activity in Acts 1 is to receive power. Power is ability to do something. So, what you do is to receive. Now, in the scriptures, when you hear the word receive, you know, in human terms, when someone writes you a letter, do you receive the letter? You sign on it. In my company, if you send us a letter, we sign on it. Sometimes we stamp it. It depends on who received it to. If you go and if the gate man downstairs received it for you, you can't say I received anything. But you have to say, who received it for you? Say, well, the deputy manager of the company. So I sign on it. That's to receive. Okay? So receiving, message does not mean it's just to acknowledge something. Now, to receive in the gift of God is to believe. As many as believed, to them he gave the power, received him, to them he gave the power to be called the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. John 3:16, he that believes will not perish. Matthew 16:15, he that believes and is baptized. So, the believing is the receiving. Say with me, the believing is the receiving. So, just like the gifts of God, the believing is the receiving. That's the key to receiving. To believe. So, let's run. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 4. Now, there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. Notice that. There are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. Now, all of us have been made to drink of that Spirit. But in the Spirit we have drunk of, there are diversities of gifts. Verse 4. There are diversities of ministries. That's the word administration. But the same Lord. There are diversities of operations. But it's the same God that worketh all in all. That worketh, the word operations is the word work. So that means he's referring to the way the gifts work in the ministries. So it's the same God that worketh all in all. Worketh all the gifts in the ministries. Now, pause and say, look at this. Go back to verse 4. The gifts referring to there, are they the gifts of Christ? Eh? Verse 5. The differences referred to there, are they the ministries of Christ? Verse 6. The diversity of operations there, are they the gifts of Christ? Beautiful. So everything functions in who? In Christ. Good. Go down in chapter 12. Verse 27. Now you are the body of Christ and members in particular. God had set some in the church. Anytime you see that word, God had set in the church, is referring to what was given in who? Beautiful. Your intelligence. God has given in Christ to function in the church. Does that sound better? Does that sound better? God has given in Christ to function in the church. Would that be correct? Would that be correct? Okay. What has he given? Firstly, apostles. Secondly, prophets. Thirdly, teachers. After that, miracles. Then gifts of healings, helps, governments, diversities of tongues. So when we stop here, don't forget, he's referring to the church, where we all function. The church. So 29, are all apostles, are all prophets, are all teachers, are all workers of miracles. Hallelujah. Have all the gifts of healings, bad word, the same word is that are all gifts of healings. Do all speak with tongues? Do all interpret? Now, let me do you some good, intelligent. Let's see whether you try here. Let's see. Now, we just read 4 to 6. 4 spoke about number 1, gifts, right? 5 spoke about what? 6 spoke about what? Now, go to verse 9, verse 8, down to verse 10. Read it. There are 9 things mentioned there. Let's take it together. Want to go? Hold on. Now, from 4 to 6, those 9 things you mentioned, where would they fit in that categorization? Verse what? Because it said by the same, so he mentioned this. Are you following me? So go down. This is where people get it wrong. Now go down to verse 28. He says, there are now diversities of what? Ministries. So he mentions what? Apostles? Wait, oh. Don't call them ministries yet, oh. Please, oh. Prophets, thirdly what? Teachers? Miracles, gifts of healings. Now, it says all apostles, all prophets, all teachers, all workers of miracles, all the gifts of healings, do all speak with tongues, do all interpret. Now, verse 28, is it ministries or, is this talking about gifts there? Have all the gifts of healings, do all speak with tongues, do all interpret. Now, in 28, 29 and 30, look at it in 2 minutes and spot the difference in the listener of 28 and the listener of 29 and 30. It didn't include elves and governments when he was asking those questions. In 28, he mentioned the rest of tongues. In 30, he talks about speaking with tongues and interpret. 28, definitely, is referring to ministries and operations. Now, you know the reason why you can't separate ministries from operations? Because he said it is the same God that worketh what? Are you following me? So the working of the gifts is where? In the ministries. Are you listening to that now? The working of the gifts is in the ministries. Now, everything is still called gifts. Because the next statement he says here, he says, covet earnestly the best gifts. Why? Because we just said it that both the gifts, technically called the gifts, the ministries and the operations are what? They are giving. Right? Are they giving? So, they are giving to us in the person of Christ Jesus. Now, did you also observe that interpretation was added? That shows you diversity of tongues refers to what? Tongues and interpretation. Are you following this? That's what he's saying there. So, when he says that, do all. Notice this. He says, are all apostles, are all prophets, are all teachers, are all workers of miracles. He didn't say, do all work miracles. He says, have all the gifts of healings, do all speak with tongues, do all interpret. Covet earnestly the best gifts. So use the word, it says to covet. The word covet there is the word desire. So that means in the gifts of God, the word desire there is actually to receive. Is to receive. That's what it's implying there. To receive the gifts of God. So that means what we refer to the gifts in verse 4 are the demonstrations. What we can call the demonstrations of the Spirit. It says they are given. 1 Corinthians 12:7. The manifestation is given. 2. The gifts in form of ministries, in form of persons now, apostles, prophets, teachers, are also what? Given. Then now, the operations in those persons are also what? Given. So to the three things I've mentioned here, our response to them is to do what? To receive. Hallelujah. Is to receive. So, let me run through this. The gifts are given. The ministries are given. The operations are also given. So, we must receive. How shall he not with him freely give us of all things? So, we'll try and close with this. 1 Timothy 4:15. Now, when we say giving, you know what you know the way you think about when you say receive, the religious man will say receive. Have a bottle of Coke, then you take it, then you drink it. No. Mostly what we're not referring to bottles of Coke or candy. We're talking about gifts, ministries, and operations. They must be believed to be received. Now, in 1 Timothy 4:14, Paul says to Timothy, neglect not the gift that was in thee, which was given thee by prophecy. Now, prophecy itself is what? Are you following me? Are you getting this? Which was given you by prophecy with the laying on of hands of the presbytery. Now, what were you telling him to do? He was telling him to receive it. The word neglect means to leave something alone. He said you will receive it. Now, look at 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 6. I put you in remembrance that you stir up the gift of God, which is in thee by the putting on of my hand. It says to stir up. That stir up, now, it's not talking about the Holy Ghost, is it? Eh? Now, is he talking about the gifts of the Spirit? You're talking about the operations. Something close to that. Hallelujah. Something close to that. Told him to stir it. That stirring is the way he receives it. Now watch this. The things of the Spirit should be taught not for better performance, but for better reception. Because, see, in closing, the church has been given. As we are today, praise God. As we are today, you know, in this meeting, we can come in and go. But you know what? The three things I pointed out have been given. They are always given. Prophecy that Paul related with there. Prophecy confirms and reveals what God has done. It has been given. He only put the mind of Timothy to it by utterance. Hallelujah. Praise God. See, we teach these things not for better performance, but for a better reception. And the more we teach it, the better your reception. Now, why would Paul go to a church whom he wrote off in 1 Corinthians 1:7 that they came behind in no gift of God?
Yeah, you know what he told them? Concerning the things of the Spirit, 1 Corinthians 12:1, I don't want you to be ignorant. So there is a teaching where you are aware of something, but there is a teaching for better reception in our midst. Really. I just thought this last week and this week to tell you why I'm going to start this series. Praise God. This is just the reason. But we're now going to start next week for better reception of the gifts, the ministries, and the operations of God in those things. Hallelujah. Praise God. You know, in these days, people are hardly taught things like this. But you know what? We'll teach it. Amen. We'll teach it. We'll put it out. We'll teach it boldly. You know what I foresee? I foresee a great move of God. Amen. Because the teaching of God's word in this direction allows men to receive better. If a man so called of God and so knowledgeable like Timothy could be told to receive twice. To receive and not neglect. To receive and not live. Not to function. How much more you and I. Praise God. See, I receive the gifts of God. So if the gifts of God are to be received, that's the key to functioning in them. Nothing more.